This is Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio, cutting-edge thinking for being youthful at every age. Our program takes a holistic approach in addressing anti-aging psychology, medicine, alternative medicine, fitness, nutrition, and wellness. Our emphasis is on innovative thinking and practices that have solid data and results. Nursing homes used to be a place where grandma went and stayed until she died. But managed care and insurance companies insisted that hospital stays be as short as possible and that the rehab and recovery take place in nursing homes, as the fees are much lower there. With knee replacements, auto accidents, sports injuries, cancer, falls, and strokes, there are a lot of people in nursing homes these days for a few weeks or a few months. There's a good chance that you or a family member will end up being in a nursing home, at least for a short stay, sometime before they're 70. Whether you know the ins and outs of how to negotiate a nursing home stay can make the difference between nursing home hell and a good, speedy recovery. What's nursing home hell? It's when your roommate complains and complains and moans and groans and has the TV blaring 24/7 with TV programs that you absolutely hate. You're not sure what the food is, but you're sure you don't want to eat it. People are popping in out of your room every 15 minutes to empty your trash and take your blood pressure and mop the floor and give you ice and spray deodorants and give you pills and fill out forms. You're in pain and very tired and you can't sleep. That's nursing home hell. Today, I'm going to be your guide so that doesn't happen to you. But first, to illustrate how it's done, let me tell you about my kid's piano teacher, Mrs. Popper. Mrs. Popper is one remarkable woman. She created an empire of piano schools. Well, I'm exaggerating, but she has two very large piano schools. They do recitals with hundreds of students doing recitals every year, and she's very, very precise. The kids have to have proper manners or else. When my teenage daughter was dragging her feet in piano lessons and didn't really want to do it, Mrs. Popper took over as her teacher because she didn't tolerate any slackers in her school. Now, after each lesson, the teacher comes out and gives a report to the parents. Mrs. Popper walks with a walker, and she's hunched over, and she wheeled out into the waiting room, held her finger like the Wicked Witch from the West, and said, "Young lady, you are not performing up to expectations, and you will perform up to your capability, or I will make your life miserable." And then she wheeled out of the room. There was another parent in the lobby that I didn't even know the person. He looked at me and said, "You know, I think if she were in charge of our Iraq campaign, we'd be out of there by now." Mrs. Popper had to go to a nursing home for recovery from orthopedic surgery, and it was amazing to see her. She insisted that the staff perform the way that they should perform, and she got the kind of services that she wanted and that she needed. It was a beautiful thing to see, and you can do it too. Now, I realize sometimes things happen so fast that you don't have time to really do your homework on a nursing home. But oftentimes, we know that we're going to have that knee surgery, or we get the diagnosis of cancer, and it's not too early to start researching. And if the patient is too incapacitated to do the research, a spouse or family member can do the research. You wouldn't be in a nursing home if you didn't have a serious health problem. Getting the help and the rest you need is crucial to healing and recovery. Getting what you need from a nursing home makes purchasing a car look simple. Let me make an extended analogy between purchasing a car and purchasing nursing home services. In purchasing a car, the first thing that you probably do is figure out, what kind of a car do I need? What are the features that I need? Do I need a sports car, a luxury car, or a RV, a station wagon? Let me give you four profiles of different kinds of needs for nursing home services. One is the person who had that knee replacement or hip replacement or the fall or the stroke. Your top needs are really skilled nursing services, top-notch physical therapy. The most important thing you want to research is the physical therapy department or possibly the occupational therapy department, and if there's a stroke, the speech therapy. And you want to know, how much experience have they had with the problem that you're presenting? If it's knee replacement, how many knee replacement patients have they worked with? If they only get two a year, they're not going to be as skilled as you need. Just as you want a surgeon that's done that surgery a lot, you want physical therapists that have worked with that problem a lot. Then you want to ask, how many days a week do they do physical therapy? You want at least 5 days a week. Some of the places will even give you 6 days a week. 6 days a week might get you out of there almost 20% sooner. That's a good deal. Most nursing homes that have a rehab department are probably going to have them there at least 5 days a week. But the occupational therapist may only be there a few days a week. If you need intensive occupational therapy, that usually goes with stroke patients, then you want to pick a facility that has the occupational therapy 5 days a week. And if it's a stroke, you want speech therapy there 5 days a week. Our second profile is somebody with cancer. Person's diagnosed with cancer, they're receiving radiation treatment or chemotherapy in hopes of beating the cancer and going back home. You need an atmosphere that's conducive to healing, that's going to keep your spirits up. You want friendly, upbeat staff and cheerful facilities and decent food. In short, you want tender, loving care. You might even consider, and this is very unorthodox, but you might even take a look at some of the assisted living facilities and approach them and say, look, I want a stay of about 2 months. I don't want to have to pay an initiation fee, but I want a more home-like atmosphere that you get with assisted living. Do you have the skilled nursing care here? Many of them do, that you could do this for me. And you may end up with a much more homey environment with a private room for the same or even less than you would pay in a nursing home. A third profile is somebody with very complicated health problems. For example, somebody that has diabetes and also cardiovascular problems and poor circulation to their feet and hands, so we have the danger of losing a foot if we can't keep good circulation there, or maybe very sensitive skin that could break down into skin ulcers. With diabetes and cardiovascular problems, I think that proper nutrition as well as exercise is so important that that would be one of the key areas that I would focus on. If you can't get good food, you're not going to deal well with diabetes, you're not going to deal well with cardiovascular problems. So I would look at both the quality of the food and how much they're really willing to individualize. To show how absurd this can be, I saw a patient once who had a tray full of starchy foods and cakes and sugar drinks. Absolutely the wrong thing for somebody who had very serious diabetes. And so I asked the dietitian whether she could get diabetic food. And the answer I got, I just couldn't believe. She said, well, because of HIPAA requirements, that's the privacy regulations from the federal government, we can't distinguish between diabetic patients and non-diabetic patients because their roommates would know and that would violate their privacy, so we just give diabetics smaller portions. What a great solution! So you really want to ask how much they, in fact, will customize the food. If there are problems with bed sores or skin ulcers, you want to look at their track record in dealing with those problems. You can go to Medicare.gov, and I'll talk more about that later, and you can see the percentage of patients they have with bed sores compared with other patients in the state and other patients in the country. Our fourth and final profile is, this is home. You can't manage taking care of grandma anymore. She needs help with toileting and bathing, and it's not feasible to stay with the family. This is going to be the permanent residence. You want a place that has a home-like atmosphere, a place where the staff and hopefully the residents as well are friendly, and food that you'd be willing to eat for the rest of your life. Finally, what's grandma going to do there? Patients who are sharper mentally tend to entertain themselves. They bring books to read, they do crossword puzzles, maybe even get a card game going. Most of the activities that the nursing homes organize are for lower functioning patients, and so you get activities like bingo. If that's what mom wants, fine, then you've got a good match. But if mom hates bingo, she's not going to be happy with that kind of an activities program. One of the advantages of assisted living programs are that you tend to have higher functioning residents that you can have friendships with and conversations with. I've seen quite a few nursing homes in which I felt that the activities were demeaning. I've literally seen 70, 80-year-old adults cutting out paper dolls. So our first step in choosing a nursing home is being clear about what you need, and I offered four profiles: the person who primarily needs physical therapy, the cancer patient, the person with very complex health problems, and the person needing permanent long-term care. So if you were shopping for a car, you'd be asking yourself, do I need a station wagon? Do I need an RV? Do I need a sports car, a luxury car? What do I want? Picking a nursing home, you need to know what you want. Now, if you're purchasing that car, the next thing you would do would be get a copy of Consumer Reports, of course. The equivalent of that with nursing homes is you go to Medicare.gov. That's Medicare.gov. And you pick the link that says compare nursing homes in your area. You type in your zip code and you pick a mileage range, such as within 10 miles of that zip code. You can check several of the nursing homes and have them compared, just like you would be comparing items on one of the shopping sites on the internet. And you can drill down into great detail about each nursing home. What do you want to know about these nursing homes? There's data, for example, on the percentage of pressure sores compared to other nursing homes in the state and other nursing homes in the country. Likewise, with urinary tract infections, if you're prone to get urinary tract infections, you want to pick a nursing home that has a lower than average rate of urinary tract infections. Then there's a section on inspections. This lists all the areas that they didn't get a perfect score. If you see a lot of serious dings there, it's a nursing home you want to avoid. Does it matter how close it is to home? Well, if you're going to have a lot of friends and family visit, it might. If that's not a factor, you want to go for the highest quality, not the closest to your home. So if we were shopping for a car, we did the Consumer Report part with going to Medicare.gov, but you'd also be asking all your friends and your mechanic and other people about their experience with the cars that you're considering. With nursing homes, you want to ask all your friends and doctors and nurses that you know whether they've had experience with the nursing homes that you're considering. Gather as much information as you can. Then what do? Well, of course, you go to the showroom. You kick the tires. How do you kick the tires at a nursing home? You make an appointment with the admissions director, probably even just drop in, and they'll give you a tour. A really good time to make that appointment is during lunchtime, because then you can see the dining room and get a feel of what the people are eating. Look at that and ask yourself, could I eat that? So what else are you looking for? Depends partly on those categories we talked about earlier of why you're there and what you want to get out of it. Certainly if you're going to be there permanently or grandma's going to be there permanently, you want a place that's real homey. But if you're just in and out, you want to focus on the quality of the nursing care. Do the nurses look stressed out? Or do they look like they're efficiently and merrily doing their jobs? Does the place look clean? Does the facility seem cheerful or depressing? Now, you probably wouldn't buy a car at the first showroom that you went to, and you probably don't want to sign up at the first nursing home that you visit. But on your way out, you do want to ask them, oh, by the way, do you have a nursing home residence Bill of Rights booklet? They're probably going to have something. They may give you some bare-bones handouts, or they may give you a very nice pamphlet. In Ohio, for example, the Ohio Healthcare Association, which is the trade group for long-term care facilities, provides a very elaborate pamphlet that covers both the state and federal regulations. Think of this as getting your warranty information. Well, why do you want this? Well, first of all, you might have insomnia, and this is a great way of getting some sleep. Seriously, there's a big gap between what the federal government says nursing homes have to do and what most of them actually do. When you know what they're required to do, you're in a position to point to chapter and verse and say, get it right. So let's take a look at some of the rights. Get this. You have a right to food prepared by methods that conserve nutritive value, flavor, and appearance, and that it's palatable, attractive, and at proper temperature, prepared in a form designed to meet individual needs, and a right to substitutes offered of similar nutritive value to residents who refuse food served. Wow, is that a gap? And you have a right to a therapeutic diet, but that needs to be prescribed by the attending physician. So if the food is too bad, you can say, here it is, in black and white, I have special dietary needs, you need to meet them. When a person cites chapter and verse, when they point to it in black and white, you don't even have to say, and if it doesn't happen, I know how to report this. They get the message without you ever having to say that. And if they don't, you can always tell them that. The last thing they want is a ding from the state with the inspectors coming in. Inspections for them are a nightmare. Once a year is bad enough, but when they have special inspections because of a complaint, heads roll. Another right that you have is to be free of verbal, mental, physical, or sexual abuse, dignity, self-determination, a safe, clean, comfortable, home-like environment that is kept between 71 and 81 degrees Fahrenheit and maintains comfortable sound levels. So if you're not getting the privacy you need, you've got a right to it. If staff are being nasty with you, you have a right to dignified, respectful treatment. If it's just too damn noisy, you have a right to comfortable sound levels. It says so in the federal regulations. Now, you have a right to get copies of your records, and they may charge you a copying fee, but only what's usual, customary, and reasonable for copying in the community, not dollar a page kind of stuff. You have a right to refuse treatment, so you don't have to take that sleeping pill, you don't have to take that tranquilizer, or whatever you don't want to take. You have a right to access to your records within 24 hours on weekdays, and it's a very good idea to take a look at those records and see what they say. You might be very surprised. So most of these rights are very patient-friendly. The one place where they really fall down is when it comes to seeing a physician. In so many nursing homes, the physician pops in for 5 minutes and you may not see him for a month. Indeed, the regulations say that the physician only has to see you once every 30 days in the first 3 months, and after that, even less frequently. And if you request to see your physician, it's considered a timely visit if it's no more than 10 days from the day of request. That's totally outrageous. That the reason that we have it is many of the physicians who practice nursing home medicine feel that they have to do 5-minute medicine in order to make an income comparable to, say, a family doctor. But fortunately, there's a loophole. You have a right to choose a personal attending physician. So most of the people in the nursing homes are seeing the house doctor or one of the house doctors. If your family doctor or internist is willing to treat you while you're in the nursing home, you can choose to do that. For example, my mother is in an assisted living facility, and I drive her to appointments with our family doctor, who is very, very good. She calls the nursing home and talks with the nurses periodically, faxes the orders to them, reviews the medications with them, and does a very good job, spending far more time than the house doctor that we started with, who was adding a new medication every time he saw her. So if your doctor is willing to treat you while you're in the nursing home, whether it's on an outpatient visit basis or on-site at the nursing home, you can choose to use your doctor. And then you have somebody who knows your history and is much more invested in your care than the house doctor. Let's take a look at a couple more rights. You have a right to know about your total health status, your care, your medications, and any changes in your treatment. Now, oftentimes, when people are in nursing homes, they're so ill or they're on so many pain medications or other medications that they're not really on top of what's going on, and they want a family member or friend to help out. So by telling the staff that you want that person to be kept abreast of everything that happens to you, the facility is required to keep that sponsor informed of every change in your care, change in your medication, whether you get significantly worse, etc. And let me just quickly list some miscellaneous rights. You have a right to examine survey results from those inspections, to have access to the state ombudsman with your complaints. There are many people that you can complain to. Reasonable access to the phone without being overheard. Married couples have a right to share a room. You have a right to self-administer your own medications if interdisciplinary team deems it safe. Frankly, that's a tough one to sell to staff. And you have a right to participate in religious observances and social activities. So how do you find these rights? Well, hopefully it's in the brochure that the facility gave you. But if you don't have that, there's a wonderful website you can go to where it has the rights broken down into a couple dozen areas. You can click on the category you want in either text or PDF, print it, and take it with you. Frankly, the website address is just too complicated to do over the radio, but I will put it on agelesslifestyles.com, along with the four categories that you'll be particularly interested in: resident rights, quality of life, dietary services, and physician services. Now, those are just the federal regulations. The states often have additional regulations, and that's why you want to get that handbook of rights from the admissions coordinator. In Ohio, for example, we have additional rights for right to your own pharmacist, right to alcoholic beverages, a unless contradicted by the written admission policies, a right to retire and rise when you want. And it's not just married people that can share a room, but mutually consenting residents at the facility may share a room as well. And a right to have room doors closed and not have them opened without knocking. I see it all the time that residents want their doors closed and the staff hassle them and say, no, we have to have it open. If you know that that's your right, then you can have your door closed when you want it, unless there's a safety issue and you can put a sign up saying, please knock before entering, if staff aren't in the habit of doing that, which they aren't in many facilities. Before long, you start regaining your privacy and dignity. Now, while it's not spelled out in the regulations, I would read right to privacy as including women who do not want male staff bathing them and dressing them have a right to have that kind of personal care done by female staff. Now that we have our warranty, we know what our rights are, we're ready to do some serious negotiating. But first, let's take a short break. Did you ever wonder why some people look, act, and feel more youthful than others? Would you like to know their secret? Well, their secret is they think differently. And if you adopt their mindset, you too can think, feel, look, and be more youthful. Check out antiagingspeaker.com. That's antiagingspeaker.com, antiagingspeaker.com with hyphens in there, to learn how I can help your company or your organization have more youthful, positive employees or members. And when that happens, they're also healthier and more productive. And if you're not sure what website to go to, you can just go to notaging.com, notaging.com, and it's a portal for all of my services. You can connect to my speaking services, to Ageless Lifestyles and the archives of previous shows. You can subscribe to my Freed by Aging newsletter, or go to drbricky.com and learn about my CDs, books, and other information about how to stay as youthful as possible. That portal site again is notaging.com. Back to the showroom floor. So you have an appointment with the admissions coordinator, and you have a list of what you want from these negotiations. But first, I would think out, do you want to pay extra for a private room? If you're there for a short period of time, you're in a lot of pain. The last thing that you need is a roommate with TV blaring all the time, or screaming, or other unbearable habits. Yes, sometimes you get lucky, and you get a roommate that becomes best friends, and you live happily ever after, but in the vast majority of cases, it's stressful. If you're on vacation, we think nothing of paying extra to get the suite, the room with the view of the ocean, the room with the jacuzzi, and then we spend all the time at the pool or the beach. In the nursing home, you're probably going to spend a lot more time in your room at a time when you're feeling poorly to begin with. So I'd give serious consideration to a private room if you can afford it. Now, there are times when it's a buyer's market and times when it's a seller's market. Maybe there's been an ice storm and there have been lots and lots of falls and broken hips and there's hardly a spare room. You may have to settle for what you can get. There are other times when they have a dozen, even two dozen rooms vacant and they're desperate for the business. When you take that tour, you can notice whether there are two nameplates on just about every door. Now, if you're sharing a room, the ideal room would be by the window so that you get some sunlight, you get some vitamin D, you get something to look at, and a room with a view of some trees or flowers opposed to looking at the dumpster. Now, let's go back to Mrs. Pomper. She is one good businesswoman. She would know that this is a negotiation, not just signing up for the services. So she has a list of what she wants, and she's going to fight. So, you know you want a room with a view? You have a manner about you that suggests that, well, if I could get that room, I think I would stay here. That's part of your negotiating strategy. You want to give the impression that you're willing to walk away if you don't get the things that you want. So, if you are getting a semi-private room, you can negotiate about that. Not only do you want the window, if that's important to you, but you want to know who the roommate is going to be. If you like peace and quiet, then maybe you want that little old lady who never watches TV and is very quiet. Maybe it's important to you that you have somebody very nice, or at least somebody that isn't moaning and groaning or screaming all night long. Now, some beds, they're going to have people coming and going a lot, particularly the people who are there for rehab. The ideal is to get your vacancy with somebody who is a long-term resident, so they're not going to move out the next day and give you a new roommate who has Alzheimer's. when you're negotiating with the admissions person, it's okay to ask about the personality and the habits of the potential roommate. You want to have your own doctor and he or she has agreed to it? Make sure the facility is willing to do that. You know the food isn't all that great and you're fussy about your food? Ask if you can bring a little fridge. You could probably buy one for $100 or less, or rent one by the week or by the month. Remember that right to administer your own medications? One of the frustrating things with a nursing home is you were supposed to get your pain pill at 6, and here it is 7 o'clock, and you're starting to feel a real buildup of pain, and you press the buzzer, and nobody comes. So if you can self-administer your own medications, you feel a lot more control over your life. Now's the time to tell the admissions person that you need a special diet, that you're a vegetarian, or that you're allergic to these foods, or that you're at risk for diabetes, or that you're trying to lose weight and you want a particular type of diet. If they say they can't do it, you want to know that now. By the way, if you want any special dietary considerations, one of the best ways to get it is to have your physician write it in the physician's orders. And if there are things that are particularly important to you, for example, you're there for knee replacement and you just can't wait to get out of there and get home, and you want physical therapy 6 days a week, you can ask them to put it in writing that you will get physical therapy 6 days a week. Will it absolutely guarantee it? No, but it would make it more likely to happen. You may not get everything you ask for, but as Gandhi said, I love this quote, you don't ask, you don't get. Whenever you talk to a staff member, ask for their business card. The nurses aren't going to have business cards, but the social workers and therapists and administrators will. If your care isn't going right, you want that direct phone number there for whom to call. Now let's get back to that Mrs. Popper headset. You or your insurance company is paying about $2,000 a week for this care. If you were paying $2,000 a week on your vacation, or staying at the Hilton, you would expect to get top-notch treatment. You want to have that same headset. If room service isn't up to par, you're going to be calling the front desk. If housekeeping isn't changing the linens, you're going to call housekeeping. Whatever needs to be done. Remember when Rudy Giuliani developed the no broken windows policy in New York City and it really helped clean up the whole city because he wouldn't even tolerate a broken window? That's the kind of mindset that you want to have. You want to think of yourself as a nice person, a very reasonable person, somebody who gives compliments to the staff and enjoys talking with the staff, has a good time with them, but somebody who expects and gets things done right. Staff will quickly catch on that this is a person that you have to treat right. Okay, so you finally made your purchase for the car, or rather, in this case, you've done your tough negotiating, you've signed your papers to be admitted to the nursing home or to have your friend or family member admitted to the nursing home. Next question is, what do you bring? In most nursing homes, the laundry eats clothes. It's a huge complaint among residents that things go to the laundry and, like the Roach Motel, they don't come back. Or, if you're sending nice clothes, remember, this is a commercial laundry that's laundering clothes that are often soiled. You may be very disappointed in how they look when they come back. Well, if you're just going to be there in a hospital gown, it doesn't matter much. If you're a person who dresses very casually, just sweatshirt and jeans, and these aren't designer jeans, these are just any old beat-up jeans, it's probably okay to use the laundry services that the facility provides at no additional cost. But if you're fussy about your clothes, or if you have clothes that you can't afford to lose, see if you can have a friend or a family member do the laundry for you. And you see signs all over the nursing homes, family will do laundry for this resident. I think one factor to consider here is for some people, dressing in nice clothes really cheers them up and picks up their spirit. If that's you, then you can bring some fairly decent clothes, but have family or friends do the laundry for you. If it really doesn't matter to you, that old sweatshirt is just fine, then it's no problem. My theory as to why the laundry loses so many clothes is that while the facility writes the names of the residents on the clothing or has the residents write them on, oftentimes it's difficult to read or they become faded, or you have laundry workers who don't have good literacy skills or don't have good English skills and have difficulty reading the names. I think they would be wise to write the room numbers on instead of the names. Better yet, to put a little tag with the room numbers on it. And if a resident should happen to change rooms, then you just change the room numbers. I hate to say it, but theft is a real big problem in nursing homes and to a large extent in hospitals too. So you don't want to bring nice jewelry. You don't want to bring valuables. And if you do bring something like a computer, you certainly want to have a lock cable attaching it to the bed frame or something like that to make sure it's not stolen. You can't just leave your money in a purse in a drawer. So what to do? Bring a $10, $20 lock box with you. Wouldn't even hurt to have a little cable attaching it to your bed frame. Keep your money in there, your ID papers in there, whatever valuables you have, other than maybe a wedding ring or engagement ring that you're wearing. This is a real case of an ounce of prevention can prevent an awful lot of grief later. If that wallet disappears, not only are you losing money, but you're losing your credit cards, you're losing your driver's license. It takes a long time to replace that, and it's twice as hard when you're in a nursing home to begin with. If television is important to you, find out if they provide TV or if you need to and can bring your own. Music's important to you, bring your own radio or boombox or CD player. And by all means, if you love to read, bring books and magazines. And if you don't quite have good enough concentration to read books, but you want the intellectual stimulation, have some friends or family members get some books on CDs or tapes that you can listen to when you're tired of what's on TV. These days, most libraries have very rich collections of books on tape. Now, one other thing you might want to think about bringing in, this sounds really goofy, but a light bulb. A lot of the nursing homes are lit with those horrible overhead fluorescent light bulbs. And when they do have light bulbs in a lamp, it's these dinky little 60-watt bulbs that aren't strong enough for reading. So if you need good bright light to read by, you might want to just bring a 100-watt bulb, or you may even want to bring a full-spectrum light bulb that has the healthier full spectrum of light instead of what we get from incandescent lights. Or if it's winter and you tend to have seasonal affective disorder, SAD, you can bring a SAD lamp with you, and that can do wonders to brighten up your spirits on an overcast winter day. So back to Mrs. Popper. You want to think of yourself as the general who is running the show. You are staying at the Hilton, you're paying a couple $1,000s a week, and you're entitled to get the services that you're paying for, the services that you need. As the general, when visitors come, you want to know what you want from visitors. How often do you want them to come? And when they come, you may want to tell them, hey, instead of bringing me flowers, bring me a fruit basket. I need some fresh fruits. Here are some foods that I would love to get here. Here's a list of some foods I'd like for you to get me at the grocery store. If you like having your visitors visit often and stay a long time, tell them. If it really wears you out, tell them. Limit their visits. If you see staff who aren't washing their hands and aren't wearing gloves and then doing personal care for you, ask them to wash their hands or put on gloves. If you don't want people coming in your room every 15 minutes, put a sign on the door saying, do not disturb between 10 p.m. and 8 a.m., or whatever time you want. If you're not getting the services you need, take out those calling cards you collected and call the unit director, call the director of nurse, call the social worker, call whoever you need to. Now, they may be annoyed about it, but they're probably going to shape up and give you the services that you're supposed to get. And what usually happens, staff very quickly realize that, well, that's the way it is with this patient, and it's no longer an issue. It's when things are vague that people test the limits. If you're not happy with the way things are going in general or with your treatment, ask for a case conference. They're usually very accommodating about scheduling case conferences. And there you see the whole treatment team. You want a list of all your medications, and the easiest way to get that is just a copy of the physician's orders from your chart. So you want to know what all the medications are, and you want to know when you're getting them, so you notice that, hey, half an hour after I take this pill, here's how I feel, or here's the side effect I get. If you're not up to staying on top of this, that's where your friend or family member comes in, what they call a sponsor, who gets copies of the records, who stays on top of it. Did you ever have a guest that just wouldn't leave? Well, sometimes we get treatment that just doesn't leave. For example, it's not unusual for people who were in automobile accidents or other trauma to get very heavy-duty medications when they're at the hospital, and then those medications get carried over into the nursing home when you no longer need those medications. usually staff and physicians are pretty conscientious about weaning off the pain medications, but sometimes people are delirious in hospitals, they get antipsychotic medication, and then when they step down to the nursing home assumes they need that antipsychotic medication when it may have just been the trauma situation that required it. Another reason you want to look at your chart is you may have picked up a nasty diagnosis. I can't tell you how many times I've seen mentally sharp people whose nursing home chart says dementia because that's what the hospital chart said. And where was the dementia? When they came into the hospital, they were disoriented and shock and a lot of trauma, getting a lot of medications, disoriented, and couldn't pass a mental status exam. But now that they're getting healthier again, there's no dementia. If that's in your chart, you want to get it corrected. Now, they can't take it out of the chart, but they can indicate the correction in the chart. Also in trauma cases, sometimes people get feeding tubes and the nursing homes are very reluctant to have them taken out because they're thinking, yes, the person is eating okay now, but what if their condition regresses? Then if we took the feeding tube out, we'd have to put another one in and we don't want to have to put the patient through that trauma again. So let's just leave the feeding tube in there. I've seen obese patients who were eating far too much and also getting full nutrition through their feeding tube, and the facility was reluctant to remove it. I also see far too many people on sleeping pills when they're in hospitals and nursing homes. Those should be a very temporary medication. Sooner or later, everybody gets some sleep. It may not be in the usual sleeping hours, but we all get some sleep sooner or later. And the sleeping pills are a very bad habit that slow and complicate recovery. So let me summarize. Don't just go to whatever nursing home the hospital suggests. You got to do some homework. It's a lot like buying a car. You start off by doing your homework. The Consumer Report for hospitals is Medicare.gov. You also ask your doctor and nurses and friends, and anybody you know who may have some personal experience with various nursing homes. Then you go to the showroom, you check out the nursing home, you take a walk around, you gather cards, you gather information, you get that booklet about patients' rights. And when the time comes, you go in and just like you negotiate on buying that new car, you negotiate for which room you get, and maybe even which roommate you get, and any special dietary needs that you get, maybe self-administering medication, having your own physician, having a refrigerator there, whatever special accommodations are important to you. When they're trying to sell their services, they're very flexible. Once the contract is signed, it's like trying to persuade the car salesman to throw in some free car mats after you've already agreed on the terms. We talked about what to bring, and we talked about staying on top of your treatment, getting copies of your medical chart and reviewing them or having a friend or family member review them to stay on top of it. And I forgot to mention, you want to keep a log of what happens each day. And if you're having problems with service, keep a log of at 9:15 I pressed my buzzer and nobody came until 10:15. That's if you wait that long before getting on the phone or otherwise getting some attention. And finally, you want to have that mindset of Mrs. Popper, that you're paying $2,000 a week and you're entitled to get the services that you're paying for. It's what you expect and what you inspect and what you insist on getting. Hopefully you live a long, healthy life and never need to go to the hospital or the nursing home. But if you do need a nursing home, or a friend or family member needs a nursing home, now you know a lot more about how to get the services that you need. Your health or the health of somebody that you love and care about may well depend upon it. A reminder that if you go to agelesslifestyles.com, that's agelesslifestyles.com, agelesslifestyles.com, not only will you find information and MP3s on all the previous programs, but I'll have the link for the information on the federal nursing home rights. That's Federal Regulations Title 42, Sections 483.12, 13, and 15. The link is a little too long to spell out in the program, but I'll have it on the website. While you're on agelesslifestyles.com, sign up for the free Defy Aging newsletter with practical advice to help you live longer, healthier, and happier. Baby steps! I always like to leave you with a little tweak in what you think or what you do that'll help you live longer and healthier. Today's is simply that if you see that you or a family member are likely to need nursing home services in the near future, that's the time to start doing some homework, gathering the information. Every hour that you spend in homework and preparation is going to pay off big, big time in getting better quality services and getting what you need from the nursing home. Emails! Love getting those emails. Send them to radio@agelesslifestyles.com. That's radio@agelesslifestyles.com. The feedback I got on last week's show with spine care specialist Dr. Mark Brown was, wow, what a breath of fresh air. And I also had one listener who wrote and said that she used a magnetic belt and it did wonders for her back pain. I'm wondering whether that's kind of comparable to the little tickling or light touch that he talked about. Perhaps both somehow induce an energy field that affects our neurology. So this is anti-aging psychologist Dr. Michael Bricky with Ageless Lifestyles Radio on webtalkradio.net. If you missed any of the previous shows or want to hear them again, you can go to either webtalkradio.net or agelesslifestyles.com, where you can listen to the show or download the show to your computer or MP3 player. If you're interested in any of my services, you can just go to notaging.com, notaging.com, N-O-T-A-G-I-N-G.com, which is a portal for information about the radio program, my speaking services, my newsletter, my personal coaching services, and other anti-aging information. Thank you for joining us on our quest to live longer, healthier, and happier, and I'll see you next week.